Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia. Going electric? Go really electric with an EV or plug-in hybrid from the Kia e-range.
Kia. Movement that inspires.
1850 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. And Joe at RTE.ie. I think when the Post announced the postage stamp increases about a month ago, I don't think many people heeded him, because mainly because the standing of an post in the country during the pandemic is incredible. They did incredibly well day in, day out, all over the country, not just delivering, but collecting from older people, not just delivering, but checking on older people, especially during the pandemic. They brought in free postage to nursing homes, an incredible gesture, which I think is still in existence. And the stamp went up by 10 cents to a euro and 10 cents. But now other increases are coming into effect. So let's hear about them from people who've contacted us. Mary Lawless, good afternoon, Mary.
Good afternoon, Joe.
Okay, what will you tell us your story?
My story is I have my daughter Amy lives in just outside Christchurch in New Zealand.
Okay.
And I send her parcels, have been, she's there 11 years, so I send her parcels about 2, 3, 4 times a year, depending.
Okay.
And so the last parcel I sent her was in, I think, early April, and it was 71 euro for 8-9 kilos.
Okay.
And I was in the post office yesterday, and I usually check, used to be able to send 20 kilos, any size box, but it couldn't be over 20 kilos.
The weight.
So usually when I'm in the post office, I ask the girl, is, you know, the post to New Zealand still the same? It was reduced to 10 kilos during the pandemic. And she said, oh, no, it's still only 10 kilos. But she said, you know, the post has gone up. And mm-hmm. I said, oh, really? And
well, it's gone up on the postage, on the letter, it's gone up 10%.
Yeah.
What's it gone up on the parcels?
So my 70-odd euro parcel has now gone up to 180 euro.
Wow.
So, I mean, to me, it's double the price, more than double the price.
More than double, yeah.
And it's just, you know, I was just heartbroken because I like to send the parcels. Amy loves to get them. It's a connection to home. And I know I send her, like, all sorts of bits and pieces, you know, her crisps and tea bags and chocolate and decorate, you know, Easter or Halloween decorations, whatever it would be. But, yeah, I'm just so upset. I understand things have to go up, but why did they go up by that amount?
It's about 160%, I think.
Yeah, and
what's in the box?
Well, this is what would be in the box. I would send crisps, tea bags,
yeah,
chocolate.
Yeah, Tato.
Tato, yeah. She loves
Cadbury's chocolate.
Cadbury's chocolate.
Yeah.
You know, sort of biscuits, whatever her favourite biscuits are.
Yeah.
And just little things that recently I was sending her. I think, like, she's a promotion for Ireland because I was sending her the new curry sauce, chef curry sauce, and she was amazed at this because I have to say the chips in New Zealand are not the best. Like, I've been over a few times, and she had friends over, and they had fish and chips, and they were amazed at this new sauce.
Okay, the chef curry sauce. Okay,
yes.
Okay. So, but it came to less than 10 kilo.
Just less than 10 kilo,
okay.
Yeah.
And people, before people ring in or text in on 51551, wash your hands about you can get Cadbury's chocolate in New Zealand. There is no Cadbury's chocolate like Irish Cadbury's chocolate.
No.
Because Irish Cadbury's chocolate is made from Irish milk, Irish chocolate crumb, which is milled down in Rathmore. I hope it still is down in West Cork, stroke Kerry, from Irish cattle. And there's no Cadbury's chocolate that tastes better than Irish Cadbury's chocolate because of the organic chocolate crumb that goes into it. It's an incredible brand.
Yeah.
So, and I know you can get a flake in Australia, but it doesn't taste like our flakes. But anyway, what is the value of the contents of the parcel that will cost you 180 euro to send?
Yes, the value could be anything between 50 and maybe 70 euro, depending on, you know, if I'm, that's just kind of grocery things, but in the parcel I would put in clothes or birthday presents or whatever it would be.
Yeah.
Like for this past Christmas, I actually sent her 4 parcels at 70 odd euro each, because you couldn't send the 20 kilo one. So as a family, we would put a parcel together and everybody would put in their little gifts for herself and her husband Andy and her little baby Maeve. And so, yeah, I never actually put a, you know, I don't sort of think of the value of it. It's just watching her. She sends me a video. The mom, look what arrived
today.
There's
nothing nicer. Remember, you remember back in the, well, we used to have relations, wait for this, Mary. We used to have relations that lived up in Port Rush in Northern Ireland, okay?
Yeah.
And they used to send us parcels of, remember they used to have bars up the north, like spangles.
Yeah,
that you couldn't, and caramel milk that you couldn't get down here. Now, when the parcel arrived, there were six children in their house. They'd be killing to get to open it, the excitement, and who'd get to... So it's the same, I presume, when they... I know they don't kill each other, but it's a great occasion when you get a parcel from home.
Oh, honestly. And her little baby, Maeve, loves Skips. You know, the Skips crisps, because they're really soft.
Yeah.
And she loves them, and Amy loves Wheelies, and Andy would have anything. But, you know, I saw then a video of Maeve eating the Wheelies, and I said it to Amy, because I talk to her every day. Does Maeve like the Wheelie? Oh, Mom, she said she loves them.
They're really nice, yeah.
Then I'm going out buying. Like, what I do is I have a big box. Her room, as my family say, it's like a shrine to her. But it's not. It's just I didn't change it. But,
so
I have a big box in there, and whenever I see anything that I think she might like, or, you know, anything that's new, come on our market. Like, the last thing I sent her were these, you know, these wash balls that you put in your washing now.
Okay, and you can only get them here in Ireland.
Well, I don't know if you can get... She certainly can get them over there.
Okay. Wash balls.
Yeah, well, they're little tiny balls you put in with the washing and makes the smell even nicer. Yeah. So Lenore do them and Comfort do them and, you know, a lot of places.
And what about... Are Pennies or Primark, are they in New Zealand?
No, they're not there either. And I'm absolutely blessed because her birthday is the 1st of June, so... You know, it's opposite, so they're coming into their winter now.
Ah, yes.
So when we're finished with our summer stuff, I buy it and then I send it to her for her birthday. And it's taken me all this time to realise that her birthday is actually winter time. So I shouldn't be sending her summer stuff.
It's the middle of winter,
You know, send her sort of the summer stuff at Christmas time and send her the winter things for her birthday. But she doesn't mind when she gets
them. They're only going into their summer now, and well, it'll be September, October when they go into their summer. They're still in winter down there. Now, on post, this is the statement they put out at the time. See, this is the post-COVID world, and I just wonder what else is going to go up dramatically in the post-COVID world.
They
say, while parcel volume surged in 2020, the decline in traditional letter volumes continue to put upward pressure on the unit cost. In addition, a marked reduction in flights out of Ireland during the COVID-19 crisis, as well as between international destinations, resulted in a fourfold increase in freight costs for On Post in the past year. The new international rates, including a zone for Australia and New Zealand, do not fully cover these costs. But freight charges are expected to fall as restrictions lift and more flights become available.
Yeah, now I'd love to think that On Post then will reduce the costs down again, but that never really happens.
Yeah.
You know, they put things up, but I don't think they'll reduce the cost back. And I mean, On Post had stopped sending parcels for a long, long time. And I found out that you could send parcels from Northern Ireland to New Zealand. And I was that desperate that myself and my husband drove up. Now, we were going on a holiday to Donegal last September, and we drove up to Derry. And we brought our 20-kilo parcel with us because at that stage you could send 20 kilos from here, but our post had stopped. And that cost me 210 sterling. And I was that shocked at the cost of it. But at the same time, I needed to get rid of that parcel because I had it in her room since March, since the start of the pandemic. And every time I opened the door and looked at the stuff and thought, you know, oh gosh, Maeve is getting older now, those clothes won't fit her and whatever it was. I didn't care what I paid, I just got rid of it. And I came home, and I'm not joking you, 2 weeks later, the girl in the post office said to me, oh, we've started back to New Zealand now. And I said, oh my God, after me spending that amount of money, but it didn't matter. She said, but you can only send 10 kilos for the same price that you used to be able to send 20
and now
kilos.
It's gone up. But it's 11,500 miles from Dublin to New Zealand, and that works out at 0.016 of a cent.
Yeah.
You know, if you look at the miles,
yeah,
like it is going some distance.
Yeah, I know, but it always went that distance.
I know, that's true, actually.
The distance hasn't
New Zealand has, and it's not going the other way now. It's going to, wow.
And I have to say, I've been the first to praise Optus.
Yeah, absolutely. And I forgot as well. Remember they gave out the free cards, the cards you could send to your granny.
Yeah.
The postcards.
Yeah.
They were fantastic ideas. That was a fantastic gesture.
I remember one time trying to send her a parcel, and the good thing about Unpus was that you could send any size box. You know, there were no sort of dimensions about the box, whereas if you're sending with a courier, they have to be a certain, you know, dimension. And I remember, you know, making inquiries about the cost of it, and I was shocked about the cost from couriers. And I'm telling them, no, I can send 20 kilos to New Zealand for just over €70. And they were saying, not at all, Mrs. And I said, excuse me, I have the receipts to prove it. So I did sort of praise and post, and I did get, as I said, Amy is 11 years away now, so I've had 11 years of...
So you have priced couriers, and they're much more expensive.
Yeah, they had been now for the 20 kilos, so I don't know how they will compare now if Unpus has gone to 180.
By the way, how long does it take the box to get from... Dublin to New Zealand, Ireland to New Zealand.
Usually she would have it in post or before the pandemic, she would have it within a week.
Wow.
And now over Christmas and that, it took a good while for them to get
because,
there.
Yeah, because,
but she didn't mind. She got them sort of every now and again and she was delighted with it. But I also send stuff to my husband's aunt in Australia, and she just loves... I just mean the fact that Irish people are trying to connect, you know, with family and friends.
Especially now more than ever.
Yeah.
So have you heard of a product called Paddy Box? What's Paddy Box? I think that's a prepaid box, isn't it? That's a box that's already full and maybe they're already in New Zealand. Connor, you, good afternoon. Joe at RT.ie, go ahead.
Hello, Joe. How are you doing?
Texas.
Yeah, my daughter lives in Dallas, Aoife. Okay. And everybody calls her Aofi.
Aofi, okay. Aofi.
I normally send her over a package once a month recently, you know.
Yeah.
And it's worked out for 2 kilos, it's €20. Now, I send her the usual stuff like jammy dodgers and chocolate bars and stuff like that, you know.
Yeah.
Things, D-bags that you can't get here. So the last 3 times that I sent it was €20. Now, it's €9 for the box, which you have to buy from Unpus, which is quite expensive anyway for the box.
Hmm.
But and then it was €11 for the postage on top of that. So I went in yesterday, and I said to the girl, I want to send this to my daughter in Texas. And she said, well, the post has gone up. And I said, how much? And she said, well, a letter was €1.70 to the US, and now it's gone up to $2. So I said, well, that's about 15%. I said, that's reasonable. So when I went, she weighed the package, and I said, how much do I owe you? She said, that's €28 altogether. And I said, that's very high increase. That's about 75% increase on what I previously paid. And I sent stuff over to my grandson. I haven't seen him yet. He's 13 months old. He lives over there in Texas. And I send him over. He likes white chocolate, which you can't get over there. The white Nestle white buttons, you know, things like that.
Yeah.
And he loves all that. And now I see him. He recognizes me. I see him on...
FaceTime.
Yeah, okay. And he's starting to walk and talk and look at people. I haven't seen him yet, and she's coming home in August, and I'm looking forward to seeing her. But she loves these little things that she can't get here, and it's getting to the stage where you're wondering, is it too expensive to send the things over? You know, nobody minds an increase. Everybody has to eat and live, but the 75% of an increase, I just can't see how it can be justified.
Yeah, no, I agree. As I said, I don't mind that it, you know, things have to go up, but it just was, you know, as my 70-odd parcel, if it had gone up even to €100, but to be €180 now is more than double the price. You know, and it's not even what's in the parcel. You know, it's the thought that it's coming from home, that her mom has thought about things or her family and put them together and sat down and, you know,
I understand that, but I just wonder, because I follow a website, I'd highly recommend it to people. Well, maybe you have to be a little bit odd, like I am, with an obsession with fire engines and things like that. But it's a site called the Universal Postal Union. And it's the Universal Postal Union is actually a branch of the UN, but they coordinate all the postal systems in the world. But it is astonishing the number of countries in the world that do not have a postal system, that do not have, that you can't send. I'd love to find out from listeners. I remember I sent a parcel to Egypt. The person I sent it to, who's a good friend of this station, a brilliant journalist, Orla Geeran, she never got it. Because the postal system, I sent stuff to my children were in South America and Colombia and Peru, and they're still looking for it. So we're lucky that we have a brilliant postal service, but two, that the countries you're sending it to would get there, New Zealand and Aofi in Texas.
Joe, can I tell you something? I sent a package there about 3 months ago, and it was curry sauce. Like,
yeah, this seems to be a big...
But the curry sauce must have leaked in transit.
Well, good luck.
It wasn't only a small leak, but she still got the package. But when she got the package, it was wrapped in cellophane, which I didn't do. And when she opened it up, it was about a dozen bars of chocolate in it, which I didn't put in. So, in fairness to whoever is in the post, they put it in. Well, I don't know why they did, but it was a nice gesture.
Mary Irwin, Mary.
Hi, Joe.
You contact us. Go ahead. Your son, he went to Vancouver, brilliant city by all accounts.
He did, yeah. He went to Vancouver just at the start of the pandemic last year, the end of February. And obviously we couldn't get over to see him, so I was checking out how to send stuff to him.
Right.
And I came across this company. It's located in Ballymun. I just looked it up there. It's called Paddy Box.
Okay.
And I've sent him a number of boxes from them now. And it's an Irish company trying to keep in touch with people around the world. And they have crisps. Tea bags, you can choose.
Okay.
It's like a hamper. So you say which box you want.
Yeah, but you don't put the socks or the jocks from Pennies in. It's a pre-packed box.
It's a pre-packed box, and it's mostly food and birthday cards.
And your son in Vancouver, I know Vancouver, I think, was voted the happiest place in the world to live because of the beautiful summers and skiing winters and all the kind of very nice people.
Yes. The quality of life is fantastic over there.
But Mary, he's never tasted chef curry sauce, has he? Is there curry sauce in that paddy box?
Do you know, I think there is, Joe. I'm just looking at it online now.
Oh, okay.
there's a spice bag.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, there's McDonald's original curry sauce, Bisto, Dib Dabs, Toppy Pops, Red Mix, Barry's tea, of course, for the Corkonians, and Lion's tea for everyone else. Joe, the difference in time is amazing, because I was saying to your searcher there, I think a couple of months ago I ordered something one Friday morning and he got it the following Tuesday in Vancouver.
Okay.
Whereas I sent him.
But
the
I just we'll get on to Paddy Box if they're in Ballymun or if they're listening.
Because it's a great service. I've used it.
But I just wonder, are Paddy Box freighting out in bulk the curry sauce?
Know.
And are they packing them in the States and then distributing them? Because wouldn't that be the cheaper way to do it?
Because
every box is the same, isn't it, Mary?
Yeah, they've a number of different ones. They've got a box for the new mammy. They've got keeper lit. They've got birthday boxes.
Yeah, but they're
not before your dinner.
Yeah.
And Joe, what price are those boxes?
Mary,
the box is approximately €50, and then the postage is about 22. So about 72 altogether for the box.
And what weight is it?
Okay.
I don't know, I never see it, but it would have, you know, lots of Cadbury's chocolate, Cadbury's fingers, spice bag, potatoes,
curry sauce.
They do the curry sauce, and the Bisto gravy. I think there's the Clonakilty box as well, but that doesn't go to Canada or the States because it's not allowed, but if it was Europe now, it would go there, they could use that.
Joe, could I just say that when you send the box and you go out and pick the stuff yourself, and you pack it away into the box, it's a sense of bonding. When my daughter opens it, it's a sense of bonding.
Yeah.
And she's on the phone to me and she said, "Oh, Dad, thanks very much." And you know, and then I see my grandson and he's getting the sweets and brings a tear to me, you know.
Yeah. No, I feel the same, like my daughter.
It's a closeness.
It's a connection to home.
Yeah, it's something you can't see, but you can certainly feel it.
Okay.
That's priceless. I'm not reading out a 12-page statement from Paddy Box. If you want to, come on, lads, come on. Barbara Lawless in Miami. I'm not an advertising platform here. Barbara Lawless, if you want to come on, you come on. Barbara Lawless in Miami. Go ahead, Barbara.
Hey, Joe. How are you doing?
You're in Florida. How are you?
I'm wonderful, thank you. It was really, I think your callers have already got in there already and said it, that my family now instead send me the Paddy Box. I get it via, I think it's DHL, and I believe it's just a much cheaper way. You probably can't send maybe as much stuff, like you can't send all your bits and pieces from Pennies or whatever.
Yeah, your little, your little knickknacks that you pick up that you know your daughter always liked, love hearts or something. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yep, exactly.
I know the Paddy Box is a good alternative.
It's a good idea. It's a very good idea, yeah.
But at the same time, I mean, even in New Zealand and in most of the big supermarkets, they have, you know, an aisle where you can get sort of food from other countries. But it's just not the same. It's like that man said, putting the parcel together. Yeah. Like, it means it gives me a bit of comfort, and then she gets comfort when she gets it. And, you know, it just, when it's a doable price, it's well worth it. Like, my family will often say, Mom, you could have had a flight over to New Zealand for what it has cost you to send stuff to Amy. But it's not the cost, you know, that's not the point. It's just when it was a doable price, it was really, you know, well worth doing.
Okay,
and as I said, the Paddy Box is another alternative.
Now, whoever came up with the idea, Paddy Box deserves an award, because it's a fantastic idea.
Yeah.
You know,
can I just say there, Joe, also the Paddy Box also has other little gifts and little bits and pieces. So I don't know, when I got it at Christmas, myself and my kids were just like blown away. And the presentation and everything.
And you get a card. You get a card in it with a, you can, I see on their website, you can put in your own personal message. And
yes.
I presume they print that onto a card.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the thing is as well, it's very quick, you know, because I did put together a couple of boxes of the, you know, the penny socks and thermal underwear and so on for my son, but I posted the stuff from my local post office before the 7th of December, and some of it didn't arrive until well into March, you know.
But you see, the problem is, Mary, the world is in a state of chassis. That is the problem. The containers ain't going anywhere. Half the empty containers are stuck halfway around the world. Paddy Box, Mark Loftus. Mark, good afternoon.
How are you, Joe? How are things?
Who came up with the idea, Mark?
That was myself. Okay. I own the Paddy Box.
Well, congratulations. What prompted you?
It's probably back in 2017 when I started it, but it was before that. A lot of my friends had moved away and family had moved away. For work and stuff like that after college, and I was sending care packages the whole time and thought there must be sort of a cheaper and easier way to do it.
Wow. Well so, done. What age are you for a start, Mark? Don't tell me you're 14 and a half or I'm going home. What age are you?
I'm 34.
Yeah, well, you're not far off. Okay, you're a young man. And how did you get started? Did you need capital or did you...
Not really, no. We started in my mum's kitchen in Port Marnock. So we just sort of took a chance and it went viral fairly quickly. And it just became very popular. So we've been going for 3 years now.
Right.
COVID has sort of kicked things off in a huge way. So we've expanded to a big warehouse now, and we've between 9 and 15 staff.
Oh, well done. Well done.
So... We're trying to fill a bit of a need at the moment. I know everybody's finding it very hard.
And how does, logistically, and I don't know whether you want to give away, don't give away any secrets, Mark, but are the boxes posted from Ireland or are they filled in the States? Do you follow me?
We fulfil everything here. So we have a great staff here that do everything by hand. So we would do customised boxes for people, and we have a big list of sort of items that we can put in for people, and they're basically collected by DHL. We use DHL at the moment.
Okay, you have a contract with them or whatever.
Yeah, and they're extremely quick getting Well, they're very reliable as well.
They have their own planes, haven't they? There's a whole fleet. One of the biggest airline fleets in the world is DHL and FedEx.
Yeah, and that's how we've kept going really over COVID and sort of being efficient through COVID. I know everybody has had a few problems with various different, like sort of trying to get things abroad, but we've been working away throughout the whole of COVID.
And what's your most popular box?
There's one called the Not Before Your Dinner box. Okay. That's probably the most popular.
Not Before Your Dinner, your mother will give you a box.
Exactly.
So what's in the Not Before Your Dinner box?
It just has all your sort of items, like your treats, like crisps, old school sweets, like refresher bars and slumps and macaroon bars and Cadbury's chocolate, Butler's chocolate, all the sort of the real treat items.
Love hearts, I see.
Yeah,
and Curly Whirlies.
Yeah, yep. Curly Whirlies are a big one.
Okay, so I just pay you for that. I pay you lock, stock and barrel for that box. I pay you, what, 50 quid, and that goes to... Is that any address in the world, Mark?
Literally anywhere. We've posted now, in the last 3 years, we've posted about 185 countries.
Wow. And you see, you're not dependent on the postal system, but you're not dependent on the postal system because it's DHL.
Exactly. So we have our own network.
Is there only any countries that DHL will not post to, will not deliver to? Sorry.
Not that we've come across. Okay. We haven't had it. Like, there's been nowhere that we haven't been able to ship to.
Okay. Now, can I? You say you can pick. Maybe I'm being slightly unfair to you. It's not necessarily. I can pick and choose. Now, I can't say I want two pairs of pennies. Boxers medium in black. Sure, I can't. It's from a list you supply.
Exactly. Now, like we do our best to look after people if we can, like at all. Like we obviously have a few, a lot of people getting on actually who would be have desperate requests and stuff like that, and people have special circumstances. So we would always do our best.
Okay. Mark, what's the most unusual thing you put in?
At one stage for a lady, she was a pregnant lady in the UK, asked for a box full of Dairy Gold butter.
Okay, and she was...
We'd have people asking for joints of ham and these sort of mad things. But the Dairy Gold is probably the strangest request, with box full, now, jam full of Dairy Gold.
And Mark, who are your competitors?
There's a few, like we've sort of made a few of the gift companies sort of pick up their game on gift hampers, so the likes of Gifts Direct, Gifts.ie.
Okay, good comp. They do Christmas hampers, and that's where they began, maybe, is it?
Yeah, that's probably where they began, yeah, and then they sort of, I think they went into the more generic gifts then after that.
And Mark, have you trademarked Paddy Box?
Oh yeah, of course.
Good man.
Yeah.
What did you do before you were 34?
Before I grew up, I owned a promotion company, so we did like nightclub events and stuff students. So that's sort of gone by the wayside during COVID. But yeah, that's still going. That'll be picked up.
And given that your mother was there with you at the kitchen table when you started back in the day, 2017. What part of the Bahamas have you got her living in now as a thank you?
She's still the quality control officer. Comes in the odd time.
Brilliant,
yeah, and she makes sure everything's going smoothly. So
that's great.
Still has a hand in it.
Here's Mark's mammy, lads. Come on, book up, everybody. Pretend you're working. I'd say they're great working. It's a very... The number of calls we're getting about Paddy Box, Mark, it's a credit to you. It's a credit
Thanks
to you.
Much.
It really is now. And it's a great idea. And the fact that you could actually... implement, and the fact that it's going through, that it's benefited, is that the right word, that you've thankfully done well? Have you taken on more people during COVID?
Oh God, yeah. We've gone from say 2 or 3 staff to like before everything kicked off to about 15. So at busy times we'd have about 15 staff in here.
Okay. And is there anything you cannot put in your box? I presume meat.
No, we send breakfast boxes across Europe.
Oh, do you?
And the UK, and I suppose alcohol is probably a dodgy one, and perfumes and stuff like that are sort of dangerous items that we can't send.
And what about Brexit, Mark? Has that affected you?
Not really, no. Okay. In terms of pricing with different suppliers, that's and we're sort of indirectly affected, I suppose, with the Irish suppliers who might get things from the UK. But in terms of us sending boxes to the UK, we're sending probably hundreds a week to there. So
okay. Now, the only thing, Mark, I presume you can't give out your warehouse address, or you'd have people coming up with the...
We wouldn't mind. We've had people coming up.
Oh, but
it's easier to order online. We'd have to actually go through it for them, and they'd have to have the address on them if they called up to the warehouse. But like, we get calls every day, and we have guys here in the office that can take orders over the phone for anybody who is having a bit of trouble.
Well done. But if people start calling up, you'd slow down. That would nearly kill your business.
No, sure. Listen, we've enough people here. Like, we're always happy to look after people if we can.
Okay. Any new products coming up? Any new boxes coming?
We'll have a Father's Day box up in the next couple of days.
And what's in that, apart from membership at the Port Marnock Golf Club? What's in that, Mark?
We've got a lot of different things. Like your socks. One second, now. Sorry, I'll pull this up.
Okay.
We've got all your sort of Father's Day type items. Socks. We've got a pint glass, like a customised pint glass with Irish sayings on it.
Okay.
Clinton's crisps, a tweed, Irish tweed cap, a dad jokes book.
Okay.
Lismore biscuits, butler's chocolate.
Okay, well, that's when is Father's Day, by the way? When is Father's Day?
You know this, Joe.
The 20th of June, okay. So, and would you have a box, like many different boxes do you have at this stage?
11,
wow.
And you would add them seasonally then as well.
Okay.
So we'd have up to 20.
You have a breakfast box, which is breakfast. What, Clannachilty, is it?
That's in conjunction with Clannachilty, yeah.
Okay.
So we send their products over. It's just...
Okay, well done. Have you a children's box, or a box for grannies, or a box for...
We have a new mammy box, which is for small babies. A children's box would probably be I don't want to give away any secrets, but that's in the pipeline for very soon. Then we've got a girly night in box, which is for sort of a nice present for girls for pampering and stuff like that. So that's extremely popular. And then the custom box, you can add in sweets and gift items as well. So it sort of covers a lot of bases there.
And have you got a Mrs. Doyle, go on, you'll have one in a box. Go on.
All the biscuits. Yeah, that's the go on box is another popular one.
Oh, you have that?
Full of biscuits and tea.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Let me stay with us. If you can, Mark, Aisling Finn, what was your idea, Aisling?
Hi, guys.
Yeah, well done. What did you do?
I set up the Book Resort.
Okay.
So that's a book subscription and gift box company. We're based in Waterford.
Okay.
We will be a little bit different than Mark's Paddy Box, as in most of our stuff will be mainly books and chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have little gifts like hand cream, soaps, bath salts, lip balms.
Okay.
We have shampoo bars, moisturizer bars, and all of them are Irish. So they're all from Irish suppliers. Okay. So we would stock the likes of Joe Brown, Dublin Herbalist, Millish Candles. People can go on to our website and they can create their own gift box. So they add in their books, their bits and pieces, whatever they like, be it biscuits, chocolate, shortbread, punch, bath bombs, and then we can send it all over Ireland and also internationally as well. We use UPS and they're quite quick as well. It'd be in America in 3 days. So, and we handwrite on all the cards too, so it's a brilliant idea and people love it because all the stuff is Irish, so they're able to send it to their loved ones abroad.
And do you package everything down in Butlerstown, Aisling?
Yes, we do.
Okay.
We do everything. You should see it here. It's full of boxes. Boxes and bags and books. That's what we have down here.
Okay, and how are you doing? When did you start?
We started about 18 months ago and COVID then really accelerated it
because everybody
wanted to send gifts to everybody.
Great, well done.
Thank you.
Call yourself the Book Resort?
Yeah, thebookresort.ie. That's what we are.
And do your books get through customs without being opened, Aisling?
I've never had somebody say to me that the box has been opened.
Okay, that's interesting.
We do have to write down on the customs forms, you know, exactly what's in it. But nobody has ever said that one of our boxes has been opened and examined. So, they get through.
And Mark Loftus of Paddy Box. Mark, are your boxes opened?
Never, not usually. They might be opened in the likes of South America.
Yeah.
That's the only other, the only place that we find is a little bit kind of bogey in terms of customs and stuff. It's a bit of a their
Australia
laws.
Australia as well can be awkward. We have one or two attributes back, I think, possibly because of the chocolate. They're very strict with Australia, but they did manage to keep out COVID, so that's probably why.
Yeah. Well done, Ashling. And in terms of people you've working for you?
We have 7 people now. Used to be just me at the kitchen table, so it's brilliant. We have full-time people, part-time people, people helping us now with social media. We're flying. Yeah, it's brilliant.
Fantastic. Congratulations. Olive is in Newton in Massachusetts. Olive, good afternoon. You're listening. Good evening.
Hello, Joe. How are you?
Good.
Great to talk to you.
Likewise. Paddy Box.
Paddy Box, it's been a lifesaver.
Okay, tell us.
Absolutely love it. Congratulations to Mark. Right from
Thanks,
the time
brilliant.
It started up, a family member started sending me Paddy Box, you know, for Christmas and birthdays, and then just coming randomly. And each one different and just magnificent. Mm-hmm. Can't say enough about it. Absolutely love it. Love to get it. Never know what the extra little thing inside is going to be. You know, so, you get your usual crisps and chocolate and stuff, but the extra little gifts that you can throw in. So as a result of me getting them in the mail from Ireland, I now will, you know, send them to people, friends all over the US. You know, last week I sent one, somebody in Florida who was moving into a new house, an Irish couple that I know, and I said, oh, this would be a great thing to have them, you know, get a Paddy Box. Loved it.
Does your Paddy Box go from Massachusetts to Port Marnock to another part of the States? Do you order it online, do you?
I order it online, yeah, and it goes direct from Dublin or Port Marnock, I guess it is now. I didn't know where exactly, but I'm saying this is where Mark's kitchen was.
Yeah, it comes to
wherever you send it. I mean, mine that I send to Florida would be sent direct to the person in Florida. It wouldn't come to me and then go. Yeah,
I know that. But is there any, apparently the warehouse is in Ballymun, but we can't for security reasons tell anyone where it is, Mark. But is there any similar facility in the States, Olive? Again, they wouldn't be sending Irish stuff.
We're lucky in Boston because we have Irish shop. You know, we have actually
the Shamrock Market.
And we can get a lot of the stuff here. And other parts of the States can't. I don't think so, because I think you can, you know, the distributors that are here are only for the stores. I don't think you can order direct. I'm not sure. I don't know. I've never. Mm. But they wouldn't be as good. You can get sausages and stuff that would be sent from New York, but they wouldn't be, you know, they wouldn't be like what you can
and
get.
And the curry sauce, all of that. One thing I would say to Mark, I don't know
if he has it on his list, but he's a big one here that people look for that find very hard to get is gooseberry jam.
Oh, gooseberry jam.
So there you go. Okay. Mark might add that onto his list if he doesn't have any gooseberry jam. Yeah, there's a big call for gooseberry jam.
can you get gooseberry jam in Ireland? And if you don't make it yourself, you can. Can you?
Oh, you can. Yeah, you can. And occasionally we can get it in the Irish store here, but it sells out like so quick. You know what I mean? You nearly have to know when the van is coming and if it might be on it. You know.
Okay. Mark, I see somebody saying, do you post to Canada? Do you ship to Canada?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. We'd have a box in Canada in 2 days.
Okay. I see someone tweeting.
Yeah, it comes very quick. And the other thing I must say is that it's actually cheap. It's cheaper for me to go online and order Paddy Box to be sent from Dublin to someone in the US than for me to go up to the Irish store here, buy all the stuff, throw it in a box and mail it myself. It's actually less expensive to do it through Paddy Box.
And so are postal rates in the States expensive, Olive?
Well, they are for international. I mean, I'm like that lady was on saying about it's lovely to get packages and stuff, and I back and forth mailing. I mean, I spend a fortune back and forth mailing packages and stuff home. It's lovely to get something in the mail, you know, that's not a bill.
Yeah, of course.
And that's, you know, something from home, yeah. But, so it's actually cheaper for me to do that, you know, that box I sent to Florida last week. So it would have been more expensive for me to go up here to the Irish shop, buy the stuff, put put it in a box and mail it to Florida. Okay.
So you're saying gooseberry jam, that's the suggestion from Mark. Now, we're hearing a lot of people saying chef curry sauce, but that's not McDonald's curry sauce.
McDonald's is the one that you see.
Yeah, that's the one that's been going for years and years and years.
Yeah,
they're a great product.
Yeah.
Okay, where's Mary Moore? And Mary, have I taken a break? I haven't. Stay with me, Mary. I need to take a break.
Okay, off you go.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia. Going electric? Go really electric with an EV or plug-in hybrid from the Kia e-range.
Kia. Movement that inspires.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
We're talking about postal rates and we're talking about the world we now live in where people haven't been able to visit relations abroad, so they're sending a lot more gifts and parcels, uniquely Irish gifts, from Curly Whirlies to Tato Crisps to Chef Curry Sauce to McDonald's Curry Sauce to Spice Bags. And there's a company called, the initial call was from Mary, who was surprised that on post have almost doubled the cost of sending a 10 kilo box to New Zealand. But on post explained in a statement before today's programme that the freight costs have gone up. But Paddy Boxer, a company set up by Mark Loftus and his sainted mother in 2017 on the kitchen table, and they will send, you have a choice of 10 products that you order it online, and they will send, they have 11 different boxes that they will send around the world through DHL. Now, Mary Moran, what's your situation, Mary?
Hi, Joe, here I am. It's the same as the previous caller. I have a daughter in Australia and I normally send 20 kg boxes and it normally costs me around 90-92 euros. And now that I'm only allowed 10 kgs and that's cost me 80 euros.
So for half the weight, it's around the same price.
Yeah. So I did question in the post office recently, when is this, you know, they said it's only temporary, and I asked them, when do you think? And I was told it's never going back. It's going to stay as this because it's more profitable for Unpost and because they've opened up to South Africa, posting, so they couldn't understand.
But Unpost in their statement say, the new international rates, including a new zone for Australia and New Zealand, do not fully cover these costs. But freight charges are expected to fall as restrictions lift and more flights become available. So it's a COVID premium we're paying.
I think so. I have no idea. I sent an email to the CEO asking for some clarity on it. And they just came back and said it takes two people to carry the 20 kg box. But I've been sending them. I'm sure everybody else has been sending them. And it was never a problem. And also because of the COVID. And that's fine. So when the girl in the post office told me that it was never going back, I rang a head office in Dublin and I spoke to a girl and I asked her, was it true? And she said, no, it's not true, she said. And we have no problem, she said, sending 20 kg boxes to Australia. It's not us. It's Australia. They're not accepting them. And even if we send them, they won't accept them. And I said, fine. But I said, I would check it out.
And what, they won't accept them because the Australians won't lift them?
No, because I have no idea. Maybe whatever. But my daughter, anyway, checked it out. And the postal service in Australia have never heard of the restrictions in Ireland with the postage. They have no problem receiving the 20 kg and they have no problem in sending 20 kg.
Okay, well,
so
that's
all
a mystery.
Maybe we can
find out more. Have you heard of Paddy Boxer, the book resort?
I just heard of it now, actually. I must look into it. It's just interesting to know, you know, is it going to lift? Is it going to stay the same? Because
But the problem is, it's like the vaccinations and the government promising dates for rollout. It all depends on the supply and demand, and that can't be guaranteed. But anyway, Mary, thanks. How long is your daughter in Australia?
Oh, 13 years.
Ah, and have you, do you mind if I ask, have you grandchildren out there?
I've only one.
One is a gift.
But it is, yeah.
And when is the last time you've seen your grandchild and your daughter?
Well, 19, Christmas 19.
Okay.
So I've just come back and then the COVID
started.
So nobody can come or go at this stage. So, I mean, they look forward to the parcels and, you know, it's a nice treat for them, you know.
Yeah, people love a parcel and a gift, yeah.
Okay,
so Mary, thanks and kind regards to your daughter and your granddaughter.
Cheers.
Fiona Kennedy, Joe at RT.ie from anywhere in the world. Fiona Kennedy.
Hi, Joe. How are you? You brought up a lovely memory for me.
Okay, give us I love memories.
Yeah. When I was a student, left Ireland for the very first time, a job in Germany. Mm-hmm. And I was over there, because I was there, I suppose, about a month. And, God, I was really homesick. And the next thing, this parcel arrived.
Right.
I didn't know what it was. And it was a wholesaler's box of sherbets. I was mad for sherbets.
This is the sherbet with the sucky licorice.
No, God, no. They're Barrett's sherbets. They're terrible.
Sorry. What? I've committed a murder.
I don't like licorice.
What do you mean? Dib Dabs?
Yeah, they're known as Dib Dabs now. Were just sherbets in the day.
Dib Dab, would I have a little lollipop with me Dib Dab?
A little lollipop, and you even nicer than if you have a nice lolly and you can dip that in, you know.
And Mark Loftus, speak freely, Mark. Do you do Dib Dabs?
We do, yeah.
That's
in the old school sweet bag, yeah. We've had people actually on asking for boxes full of Dib Dabs or boxes full of like flumps. You know, if you ever heard of flumps, they're like marshmallows.
What is sherbet? What is it? Is it
sugar? It's sugar, yeah. Like, it's very bad for you, really, I'm sure. In those days, I could eat anything, Joe.
And what else would you miss from home, Fiona? Do you remember? Potato crisps, it's all the same.
I think he might have put in a box of cocoa as well. I miss the old cocoa. Now, we never drink any chocolate.
Yeah. Oh, you weren't.
It's all cocoa.
Cocoa was what the poor man's drinking chocolate, was it?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, the cocoa, and you added your own sugar. And I had no time because I was working at night in this hotel in Germany. And oh my God, I was just gas, like getting up in the morning having my sherbet. The Germans loved them, of course.
What did the Germans think of this Irish woman getting up in the morning and opening this box of white powder and walking around happy all day after getting it into her system?
Listen, they were very innocent times, Joe. The 80s, yeah, I'm sure. I never even entered my mind about the white powder.
Okay, thanks, Fiona. Mark, someone wants to know, why our sauce? Can you send... Well, they're plastic bottles now, aren't they? Chef sauce, why our sauce?
The why our sauce. That's produced in Ireland, I believe, as well.
Is it Yorkshire Relish? Yeah. But I thought, is Chef still produced in Ireland? I know it's owned by Nestle now. It was good.
It was good
back in the day. And do people look for chef sauce?
You'd think they would, but they don't. It's not too popular. Y-R is probably popular.
And what about salad cream, which is hard to get outside of Ireland and the UK?
That's actually a great one. It's usually Heinz, though. Is it Heinz salad cream that people or is it a chef one?
Chef
do
one.
Add that one to the list as well, along with the gooseberry jam.
Okay. Mark, best of luck and stay safe and get down on your hands. I know you do anyway. Get down on your hands and knees every evening. Thank that incredible mother of yours for being with you at the kitchen table when you came up with a brilliant idea. Brilliant idea. And stay safe and kind regards to all your workers and the staff and their families that you've made such a difference to over this awful, awful period we're living through. That's Mark Loftus from Paddy Box and Aisling Finn. Likewise to you, Aisling, the Book Resort, Butlerstown in County Waterford. Joe at RT.ie.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with the Kia Dealers of Ireland. Our doors are open again for sales and test drives. Find your local Kia dealer at kia.com.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715
815. Another good news story, thankfully. John Nolan. John, good afternoon, sir.
Joe, good afternoon. How are you?
And how are you? People will recognise your voice, and indeed, if they have a TV, they recognise that incredible footage of you that incredible afternoon when Rachel rode home in Aintree on Manila Times, which is the horse you discovered years and years ago, so to speak, which is your incredible skill, as well as running the Hotel Manila down there in Clonmel. What happened, John? And I know you want to thank certain people. What happened?
Joe, I want to thank the emergency service in South Tipperary Garda, John Fogarty and Stephen Robinson and Garda Miles, and helicopters 711, Carol Kennedy, Nigel Wall and Paddy Pike in the fire service and the ambulance service and the Carrick and Shore River Rescue. They were unbelievable, Joe. My son, Jack, he slipped into the river last Thursday evening, a bad evening.
Wow.
And Jack has special needs. He was seen by a woman on the other side of the river, Fiona O'Dwyer, and she rang 999. And the operation that swung in, that the people it was unbelievable, and they saved my son's life.
And it's the shore, isn't it, that goes through Clonmel?
Sure, yeah.
And when it's in full spate, that is a big, big river.
Oh, yeah.
That is a big, powerful river.
It was a lot of flood. It had risen 5 or 6 feet in a few days. You know.
So what time did this happen?
It happened about 7 o'clock on last Thursday evening.
Okay, dusk. So Jack slipped in. Not that it would help when you get the shock of a fast-flowing river and cold. Can Jack swim?
He can, yeah. No, he has done an awful lot of swimming, and during the pandemic, he swam with his cousins every day. And a man that does swimming lessons with Johnny Guidra, he's a saint. He's swimming with Jack for 10 years
every week,
and he's learned him how to swim in his back, and Jack stayed in his back. The people could see them from the blue way, and they couldn't believe how comfortable he was in his space, and how he didn't panic, and how he survived. You know.
Jack flipped onto his back to stay afloat.
Yeah. Well, that's
some thinking, isn't it?
Yeah.
When everyone else would be panicking. Okay, so he's now in the river, and a passerby spots him from the far side.
Fiona, the lady that was walking the dog on the far side.
Well done, Fiona. She dials 999.
999, yeah.
And what happened next? Who arrived first?
And the guard of Fogarty and guard of Robinson and guard of Miles arrived first.
Okay.
I didn't know he was in it for 20 minutes after it happened, maybe half hour, when I saw the commotion.
And is Jack now moving down the river, John?
He's moving down the river, yeah. He held on to some bushes and he got let go again, and he went about a mile and a half in the river.
That's incredible.
And they were unbelievable. Like, they were so confident.
So the Gardaí wouldn't have the gear or the equipment, but they did manage to see him or get near to him, did they?
They had eyes on him. They got eyes on him, and they could see him. And the Gardaí too. They mightn't have the equipment, but two Gardaí passed me, and they went in through a ditch, like a Labrador taking a duck out of a pond.
Wow!
Just splash, you know. And they couldn't get to him. Garda Robinson and Garda Fogarty, and then the firemen.
They arrived.
Nigel Wall and Paddy Pike swam. They swam across the river. Like the fire service were so lucky. They're unbelievable men. They risk their lives every day. And these are part-time firemen that are heavily trained.
Just to explain to people, they're retained fire. They're not in the station all the time. So
no. Nigel will be selling batteries in the car accessory shop, and he gets the call.
And there's men and women involved all over the country. Retained firefighters, an incredible job they do. So the fire service arrived. There's a fairly big station there in Carrick. I visited a few times. They arrived. Do they have swift water rescue? Because I want to go to Carol Kennedy, who's Assistant Chief Fire Officer in Tipperary Fire Service. Carol, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe. How are you?
And congratulations, Chief, and to you and all your colleagues on what an incredible job. You arrived on the scene as well, Carol.
Yes, we arrived on the scene, I suppose, Clonmel Swift Water Rescue Team and our life jacket competent users came.
A Swift Water Rescue Team?
We do.
Well, we're
lucky we have the support of our Chief Executive here and a very proactive Chief Fire Officer, Dave Carl, which means we can put a lot of resources into water rescue. So having the river shore, we deemed it necessary then to have a swift water rescue response. So that's set up in Clonmel. So it was from Clonmel Fire Station that they were mobilised.
Okay. And where are you based, Carol? Where did you come from?
I'm in Clonmel as well. I'm also in Clonmel, yeah.
So you sped across. Are you in it? Who's in the swift water rescue group?
We have a number of fire officers our firefighters in it. So I suppose we had three swimmers in the water that day. So we had Stephen O'Donnell, Paddy Pike and Nigel Wall all went into the water that day. But they were backed up by everyone on the bank.
Of course,
then it's very much, you know, Joe, it's very much a team effort from station officers, firefighters, everyone.
And it's a disciplined team effort as well. Everyone has to know what they're doing.
It absolutely is. And I suppose we were lucky just 2 weeks before that we had both myself and Paddy Pike, the firefighter, are instructors in swift water rescue. So we had just recertified the team 2 weeks beforehand. So it is a very disciplined techniques and rescues that they have to learn. But we're great to have that resource in Clonmel. And if we could just encourage people, if someone does fall into the river, that chain of survival, that initial phone call makes the world of difference, getting that time in. So to just ring that 999 and ask for your fire service and the Coast Guard is really going a long way to helping that person in the water.
And I know it's a hard thing for people to hear, but do not go in after someone in the water unless you're an extraordinarily competent. And I've done training in water rescue.
And that's it. So we have all the equipment. We have all the bells and whistles with us, you know. So, and we have backup all the way down the river. I don't know if John saw it on the night, but like we'll have our life jacket competent users with throw bags, and we have a backup plan for every kind of scenario. So, and we're fully trained to do that. And it takes a long time. Clonmel have had a swift water rescue team now for nearly 10 years, and we're at the level we are because of constant training and practice.
And Carol, you arrive at the three fire personnel that got in. Are they suited and booted in that rescue gear? Yeah,
they are suited and booted in the station, and we get into the swift water rescue van.
So they're ready the minute they arrive to get in to where once they assess,
they're ready to go. Yeah.
And tell us about the river. Sure, we used to hear so often about Clonmel flooding and Carrick flooding and. So it's a big, big river, especially in spate, when it's in full spate. Is it a dangerous river?
There are spots that are definitely dangerous. We have a weir in Clonmel. I suppose weirs would be traditionally black zones, really, on rivers. And I suppose the fact that we have a swift water rescue technician team will really indicate how dangerous the river is. We wouldn't have that response unless it was necessary. But as you say, Joe, in full flow, that river is very, very dangerous. Mm. It's a lot of technical rescues going on there. So, I mean, it's certainly something we're very proud to have in Tipperary Fire Service. And again, like our chief fire officer is very proactive in that kind of way.
And Carol, I know your chief, Dave, is proactive, and you're very proactive, but you're also very modest. Am I right saying somebody is texting saying you are one of the most qualified swift water rescue instructors in the country, and as the only female officer in the country trained to a level that you are an instructor?
Is it true or false?
Well,
I'm the only female swift water rescue technician instructor.
Brilliant.
That's not to say there won't be more behind me.
There will be more.
Absolutely.
And Carol, I know you want to praise John and Jack as well, especially Jack for keeping his wits about him, trying to grab on, not panicking, flipping onto his back.
John did an awful lot, Joe, to save himself that day. He had a lot of luck on his side, but he had an awful lot of skill on his side as well.
Well done.
An absolute credit to his parents.
Okay, and John, how was Jack afterwards? I presume he was taken to hospital with hypothermia and shock.
Yeah, he was in hospital, Joe, for a couple of days with hypothermia, but he's very good. He's a strong little man. He was back to school, high school on Monday.
Wow.
And he's on holidays now, so he's great, thank God. And I'm proud as I can be. We're so proud of him and so thankful.
And were you able to find out what happened, John? Because the Hotel Manila is near the river.
Yeah, we're on the river. He slipped. He was with me, and he was going swimming with his cousins in the pool, and he went around the back, and walked around the gate, and I thought he was gone in, and there's a gateway where there'll be a boat, and he walked down to the gateway of the boat. He walked down the steps, and it was very mucky.
Okay.
And I think he got his feet stuck in the muck, and maybe he fell backwards, and it just took him out.
Carol.
So to give a bit of reference there as well, it has been raining a lot in Clonmel over the past couple of days. And really, I mean, it just shows anybody can fall in at any time. And we just all really need to be careful, especially with, you know, ourselves around riverbanks, because they are so slippy and trips and falls can happen at any time.
And have you been able, John, to explain to Jack just to be extra careful, or
we don't. Jack is special needs. We don't want to make glorify it with him. But he understands the danger of the situation. Now he said to me, "Put a chain on the gate." You know,
he said to you, "Well done."
Said, put a chain on the gate. But the community, the work is unbelievable. Carol, the fire service, the whole guards, they were fantastic. They were a credit to us. You know.
Okay, they sure are. And Carol, I presume you're ACFO, your assistant chief fire officer. You're full time, I presume.
A lot
of your crews would be retained.
Yes, all our crews in Tipperary are retained. So as you know, Joe, that means they come in on a pager. So I mean, they give up an awful lot of their time.
Yeah.
and you know, for their families as well, I suppose, to for them to be allowed to be in the fire service like that, it's a huge commitment for their families and for themselves, and for that we're very grateful.
But the training
that they put in then showed last Thursday, so you know, we're delighted.
And they're highly professional people. They're retained, but they're highly professional, and I don't know how they work it in TIP, but people should remember, one, that they're highly professional, two, that they will often go into the station twice a week anyway for training, once or twice a week for training, so they're always up to speed on the, but it's an, the retained fire service in Ireland is an incredible backbone that needs to be praised more and more and more, and what those men and women do. So John, well done. I'm so you're over the moon. When did you realise that Jack was in diffs, John?
I was looking for Jack. I thought he was going to a hotel, and the next thing I saw, Garda Miles with the blue light flashing in the car, and I said, we're in trouble. I met her at the bank of the river then. I saw her at the bank of the river, went down to her, and I knew we were in trouble then, you know. It was unbelievable. The 25 minutes I put down, I never forget in my life, you know.
Okay, because you've had a great year.
Mighty year, but it brings it all into perspective now.
And isn't that fantastic, John, that everything worked out well?
We took a view last March when the pandemic came. We didn't know what to do, and we said we'd do as much for community as we could, and we did. We're after getting it back in spades.
Yeah, you sure are. And John, what are you going to reopen at the beginning of June? What's your plan?
Yeah, hopefully we'll be reopen now next week, and Tipperary will be the staycation base, hopefully, and get people going, get people down, and hopefully we'll. You know, it's uncharted waters, and hopefully that Irish people look after Irish family hotels and spend their money.
Yeah.
I know they're all talking about trying to travel, but maybe people will stay at home
and
this
that
year.
Part,
and take
it. Well, every part of TIP, but that part of TIP, and as you go into water, it's absolutely good. Unbelievable.
The mountains and the rivers.
Beautiful.
Cumbres
and what have you, yeah. And John, you know that famous footage of you that afternoon when Rachel was romping home at Aintree? Who was in that picture with you on TV? Was that your...
My nephew was with me, and John Harney, a friend of mine. We called to his house. We were just passing the road. We were coming back from a pint to pint, and we had... Time was against us, and we just called in and saw it there, and he caught me on the phone.
Is Jack interested in horses?
Oh, he is. Yeah, Jack rides his pony.
Brilliant.
That Thursday, his unit in school all came out to the farm, and Jack showed him all the horses and showed all the lads.
Will you ever get tired of listening to this commentary, John?
Here's the final fence in the Randox Grand National, and over in front and over 2-3 lengths clear Manila Times from Balco de Flo. Any second now continues to stay on. Burrow Saint wandering out into the centre of the track. They head towards the elbow with over a furlong to cover in the National, but it's Rachel Blackmore and Manila Times who are out 4 lengths clear of Balco de Flo, and any second now Burrow Saint back in fourth is running on empty. 150 yards to go in the National. Manila Times for J.P. McManus, Henry de Brom Head, and more significantly, Rachel Blackmore, history in the National. Manila Times wins.
Incredible, John.
That was the greatest moment, but I mean, it fails into oblivion when the situation last door there was different. Unbelievable stuff. But
well said. Well, tell Jack we were asking for him. Tell him that no less than the Assistant Chief Fire Officer in Tipperary, one of the most qualified swift water rescue personnel in the country, says Jack was brilliant. Jack was brilliant. So, John, look after yourself. Best of luck. The Hotel Manila.
Hopefully, we'll get you all down to stay here in Tipperary now for the
staycation.
Summer, Joe.
Yeah, absolutely. See you, John. Carol Kennedy. Thank you, and all your colleagues for your service.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia. Going electric? Go really electric with an EV or plug-in hybrid from the Kia e-range.
Kia. Movement that inspires.
Joe Duffy. Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
We're talking about, it's kind of morphed into companies that have set up and are even thrived during this awful 15 months. Catherine Kane. Catherine, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe. How are you?
What's the name of your company?
We have a company called My Ireland Box, and we're based in Dingle.
Great. And what's the unique selling point, the USP?
Yeah, so we were actually Ireland's first subscription box. We set up in 2013, having met a lot of tourists here in Dingle, and they were going home and they missed Ireland, and we decided that we would send them a monthly curation of Irish made surprises every month based on a different theme. Okay. So we've been doing that since 2013, and
well done.
Our main market is the US.
And how have you been doing during the pandemic?
Yeah, I mean, it's been quite good. Actually, my husband Thomas was involved in the tourism sector, and he came on board when that shut down, and he's been, you know, very helpful with the marketing. So,
okay. And do I is my Ireland box like the Paddy box?
Quite good in that respect, you know, to have the extra pair of hands and to be able to learn more about, you know, growing the business and doing that.
And who does your deliveries abroad, Catherine?
Well, we go via Unpost, and that moves on then to the USPS and to Canada Post and Australia Post then.
But have you noticed that the prices have gone up?
They have, and they actually went up last year as well. The USPS prices went up, and that was passed on to us. So this is the second increase, but we're actually not going to pass that on to the customers this time around. Our shipping fees are $15. We charge in dollars, so it's $15.50 dollars, and we will keep it at that this time.
And would your customer base be Americans ordering it, or Irish people ordering it to send to America?
It's we actually featured in the RTE newsletter just prior to Christmas, so we got a lot of orders from people in Ireland who wanted to order for their cousins and family abroad. But before that, it really was mainly second and third generation Irish, and that is our main customer base.
Okay, and the company is called the Gift Box Company, but it's a My Ireland Box. It'll come up.
My Ireland Box. Well done. It's a monthly subscription with different themes every month.
Oh, well done. Another great way. Okay, well done. That's Catherine Kane. Joe at RTE.ie. Thanks, Catherine.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with the Kia Dealers of Ireland. Our doors are open again for sales and test drives. Find your local Kia dealer at kia.com.
Joe Duffy.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Someone said there's another company worth looking at, footballkitbox.com. Footballkitbox.com. Liz Byrne, quickly, you have a son and family living in Denmark. You sent a pisto, but he still hasn't made the gravy. What's happened?
Oh, that's right, Joe. My granddaughter's got into cooking. My son showed her how to make the stew and all that. They love the bisto for the gravy and all. Yeah. So she had run out. Normally we'd go over there a couple of times a year, but of course with COVID we can't get there. We haven't been there now since New Year 2020. So they were desperate for a bit of bisto. So I got the Unpost box for €9 and I filled it with 2 kgs of sweets and bisto.
And are they bisto kids at this stage?
They are. So,
but did the bisto arrive?
No. And my husband's listening now in another room and he doesn't know, but I bought 2 boxes of bisto, a small one, which I wrapped separately and sent it thinking it's so small that would surely get there. No, that hasn't got there either.
Okay. What else do they love? The curly whirlies?
Oh, the curly whirlies. My little grandson's 6. He just loves the sugary pastilles. Okay. He goes mad for them.
Now, make sure that you put the curly whirlies into the freezer because otherwise they'll pull their teeth out. So make sure that... Okay, Liz, I hope the pisto arrives in time for Sunday. Okay, good to meet you, Margaret.
That's very interesting. Thanks.
Yeah, see you later, Liz. That's Liz Byrne and Wicklow, Gard Duffy and Sound. Maeve Mooney is the BCO. Shannon Gorman, producer. Rebecca Mean is series producer.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with the Kia Dealers of Ireland. Our doors are open again for sales and test drives. Find your local Kia dealer at kia.com.
1850 715 815 stays open until 3:15 p.m. or email joe@rte.ie.